a 5-pronged plan for success for the next president and his or her administration is on the table now. The IBM Center for the Business of Government and the Partnership for Public Service bring the 5 points out of a roundtable the group hosted. Dan Chenick is executive director at the IBM Center for the Business of Government, writing about these 5 prongs. Dan, it's great to have you on the program today. What generated the discussion that brought about this list of 5 areas for success for the next administration to focus on? Thanks for coming on today.
Sure, Francis. Thanks for having me. This roundtable is part of a series of discussions that the partnership and the IBM Center are leading to try to help set a frame for the next administration to provide insight into management capacities that any administration would need to have in order to be successful in achieving their mission objectives. So the kinds of things that administrations often come in and take 2 or 3 years maybe to get the entire management team and activity set kind of rolled out, we're trying to work to accelerate that through a series of roundtable discussions that lead to recommendations and understanding across a broad set of government stakeholders and good government community contributors, as well as academics who write about government. And so the topics kind of vary across different types of management capacities. And this roundtable was the first substantive discussion to address these issues. And really, we thought that a key crux of success for any administration is how the leadership team, meaning the incoming politicals and the SES and other senior managers, work together to quickly establish an agenda that's implementable by the workforce and by the stakeholders. So we brought together a series of experts from current government leaders as well as prior government officials and people that have studied this issue a bit and had a discussion about a series of issues as to how to make that happen.
Is this the earliest that folks have started to talk about the new administration and transition? There are a couple of terrific efforts out there right now around transition. And this effort that you and your colleagues are putting together about essentially getting up and running this management roadmap and the Ready to Govern initiative, I believe, are the earliest in the cycle that we've ever seen, and I think that's terrific.
Yeah, I think that certainly there's been a lot of attention to the importance of transition planning. We have a new statute that's been implemented where the General Services Administration can work with candidates of both parties in advance so that they can begin planning. The partnership's effort, really, this management roadmap's one of a 4-part process that the partnership's leading that also includes how to train political appointees most effectively, how to work with Congress, and then, of course, how to actually do the transition process itself. And there are a number of other efforts that are looking at different elements of the transition around town. So you're right, it is earlier, and that's by design.
Yeah, and it makes sense because it gives you an opportunity to collaborate with any of the campaigns that are interested in collaborating. You have 3 declared candidates for the Democratic nomination, and I believe the last I checked, there were 7,814 candidates for the Republican nomination. So that's a lot of work that you have cut out for you. I'm kidding there, of course. You have 5 insights that came out of this discussion that I think are important to highlight, Dan. The first of those is strengthening the senior executive service. And it seems logical on its face, and yet you and I are both well aware of the situation the senior executive service finds itself in right now. It's not necessarily at the top of the reputational chart, especially vis-a-vis Congress right now.
Yeah, and the SES really is the core leadership team that carries so much institutional knowledge across administrations. I'm very proud to have been a member of the SES when I was in the government. There are terrific SES leaders all across the agencies. And the goal here was to say that the senior executive service, really treating them as a strategic asset, providing pathways for them to interact with their political overseers and to strengthen the SES as a management cadre. For example, to create a set of cross-agency executives that can really work across different programs and bring their expertise to bear without regard to their home agency, which is part of the original model and thinking for the SES. And rekindling that is something that the roundtable talked about as something that would be important.
The second one is innovations in executive talent acquisition, and a couple of the points underneath this one in the piece that you wrote in GovExec, we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. One is establishing chief talent officers, and another is developing processes to scale innovations like GSA's 18F program. And I had the chief talent officer from 18F on, and this is exactly the methodology that she's pursuing. to try to bring the kinds of talent in that they need. And it sounds from the way she described it to me like something that could scale all across government.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the idea here is that there's so much that needs to be done from a day-to-day perspective that the human resources professionals and agencies do, that they don't always have time or a position that's really focused on the strategic talent element. And how do we line up agency skill sets with agency programs or statutes that are coming down the pike that agencies have to implement, for example? And so a chief talent officer is somebody who could sit in the C-suite or the leadership suite level of an agency and really, you know, work with the assistant secretaries and the undersecretaries and even the head of the agency to say, how do we build our people to a point that they can really implement the strategic goals of the agency?
Dan Chenick of the IBM Center for the Business of Government, involved with a recent roundtable on their management roadmap at the IBM Center, part of the Ready to Govern initiative, and writing about five insights that came out of the roundtable, suggestions in the ways to build a strong collaboration between career and politicals in the next administration. The third item is incentives and accountability. And we've talked a lot about management performance, you and I, in the past, and how the GIPR Modernization Act has impacted all of that. But it sounds like the discussion that you had revolving around this one in particular was a lot more conceptual than it was execution and day-by-day, item-by-item activity.
Well, I wouldn't say it was conceptual as much as it's sort of taking a different way of doing performance management and tying that process to what leaders are expected to do and what they're held accountable for. For example, there's very little connection often between the performance plan of an executive, whether it's political executive or career executive, and the strategic goals of the agency that are developed under the Government Performance and Results Act. Similarly, most performance reviews are done by an individual, but we know as folks who have worked in government or with government that things get often done by teams. For the most part, it's groups of people working together that make change happen. And so bringing in evaluation frameworks that really look at tying executive goals and achievements to agency strategic goals and reviewing things like reviewing teams to assess their performance. Those are two examples of areas the roundtable talked about to really take a new look at incentives and how they can really drive behavior of executives to drive toward better achievement of agency goals.
The fourth item that came out of this roundtable is the career political interface. Is it your sense that that's getting better or that it's kind of stayed the same?
So it's interesting because in every administration, having been a career executive through several and then seen as part of a transition team in the last, in 2008, how this comes together, there's always a bit of a time period in which career and political officials get to know each other. Because there's a new team coming in from the president's team, and then there are people at the career level who are focused on getting their programs and activities done. The goal here is to accelerate the process by which you build trust across career and political executives, and to identify ways of doing that by looking at particular partnerships, looking at particular functional areas that are inhabited by both career and political officers. For example, chief financial officers are often political, but their deputies are often career. And trying to treat them as a team can help to build that trust.
The last item on the list of aspects of the leadership talent issue that you and your colleagues looked at this roundtable is enablers. And when I think of the word enablers, I usually think of it with a negative connotation. But as I look at what you're hoping the enablers will do, you mean it in the very highest level of a positive, don't you?
Yeah, what this is trying to do, and this is a common theme for the work that we're doing with a partnership across all the roundtables that we'll be doing, is it's great that we're coming up with ideas and proposals and concepts. What we really want to do is to make this actionable. And so in every one of our roundtables, we're going to say, how do we create structures that can really implement the ideas that we put together? And in fact, we're having a roundtable at the end that's really focused almost entirely on enablers. And these are things like, how do you structure the Office of Personnel Management and its relationship to the White House Office of Presidential Personnel? How do you look at the agency chief human capital officer as in terms of their job description, their performance, and how do you work with them to have them focus on strategic elements, kind of like the chief talent officer a discussion that we had a few minutes earlier. And how do you bring in governance to really create frameworks so that HR leaders and program leaders at the political and career levels are working together to achieve that mission goal?
Well, I commend you because you're not afraid to try to hit some third rails. You write about considering alternative compensation models, integrating governance of human capital across agencies. So it strikes me as very constructive that you're considering the entire landscape of possibilities as you're looking at these issues, Dan.
Well, and I would say this isn't, I was writing to reflect the consensus of the group, and this was something that a broad cross-section of leaders in the area of HR and talent really felt was important to help the administration get off to a strong start in 2017.